Welcome to Beyond the Pink Cloud, the podcast where we talk about moving forward in our lives through recovery and navigating the world with grace, ease, and humor. We've got tools and strategies from the experts to help you live with less stress and increased ease. Let's get into today's episode.
Thanks so much for tuning in for another episode of Beyond the Pink Cloud. We are back after my hiatus and my backpacking trip. I was in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee for a week out there just with my pack and my hiking poles and everything I needed on my back. And it was so wonderful and really challenging too at times. It's been a while since I've done a long trip like that, quite a while. And I really enjoyed going solo. I loved having that much time to myself in the forest and really just to practice and play with feeling my own container, feeling my own energetic field, and then feeling the vastness of the landscape and the trees around me. It was very restorative and very reorganizing for my own system, which is really a nice feeling. I came out of it definitely with the sense of more empowerment and one of those things you do that's difficult and you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. I have this capability. And so then it becomes a part of you, this sense. And it's wonderful. I say this too as part of the intro for this episode with Nicole Song, who is amazing. And she's talking about her new book, 24 Ways to Move More. And she'll tell you more about her own story. But other than being an expert in different ways to move, she's really an expert in trying new things and in having the sense of accomplishment that comes with being okay with trying a lot of new things, because she tried things habitually for years for a column she was writing. And I think it's so important to flex and to exercise that muscle. So I think you'll get a lot out of the episode with Nicole. And I have a few more really exciting interviews coming up. So the next few weeks, we should stay on track with our episodes coming out on Wednesday. But today's a special Friday release, so enjoy it. Hopefully you can listen to it today or over the weekend. And one of the things I did want to share about my time in the forest, I had these little lessons, right, that would come to me and feel important and worth writing down and worth taking that extra time to really let them settle in my own system. So in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park on the Appalachian Trail where I was hiking, there's one part of the park where a road crosses. And so you can like hitchhike out if you want to, you know, if you're tired of being on the trail, because otherwise you're pretty much out there. And so you, to get out, you have to keep hiking for a few more days, which I realized repeatedly because I did have a few moments of being like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'd go in my tent and look at my map and really have the awareness of, oh, well, this is what I'm doing for at least two more days to get out of this massive bit of wilderness that I'm in. But this one day, there's a road crossing, and I was approaching it, and it was raining. I had gotten caught in a storm, and, you know, my feet were wet. My boots had gotten wet, and it was kind of miserable. I was pretty exhausted. It was the 12th and 13th mile of the day, and I knew at the road crossing there was a little station there, like a little rest area. And so in my head, I had this fantasy vision of what the rest area was like and how it was calm and no one would be there because of the rain, and I could charge my phone charger and maybe make a meal under like a little awning that would be there, and I could just have this peaceful time with some of the few comforts of civilization. I could wash my hands and use a flush toilet, you know, very exciting when you've been in the woods for a couple of days. And so I really nursed this fantasy of what I thought the rest area would be like for miles. For it got me through at least 2 miles of rainy, soaking wet, slippery, difficult, I'm tired kind of hiking. And I realized how important, in hindsight, how important it is to have that fantasy. Even when I got there, the reality bore no resemblance to my fantasy. It was dirty. There were no sinks even. It was like a really smelly bathroom with no outlets where I could charge anything. Big people everywhere, really loud and chaotic. And as soon as I got there, I was like, oh, I want to go back in the woods. So that's what I did. Again, in hindsight, I realized the importance of letting that fantasy carry me through and giving myself that time to be creative in my head with this thing that could meet all my needs. And it was, Yeah, I guess it was a little bit of a disappointment, but it was more just the reality. It was like, oh, it's not that, it's this. And so how, what's my next move? And carry on and carry forth as we do in life. I think it's really important to just daydream sometimes and just be creative and just be in a fantasy place. That's okay. It doesn't always have to be goal driven or like, I'm going to fantasize this thing because I want to manifest it. I mean, that's lovely as well, but also maybe just fantasize something that is not real at all. I mean, acknowledge that it's not real, but I think it's really important to use our brains this way. And I don't know that we do it so much these days or if it's valued as much. So I wanted to share that bit with you. And we will get into the episode here in a moment. I also want to share, I've got a 3-month program that's launching in a week. It's going to close September 30th. And this is an individualized program. So essentially, you are going to do weekly sessions with me. We're going to practice somatic experiencing and work with your nervous system, build resilience within your system, relieve high amounts of stress, build avenues for calm, build avenues for inner resourcing so that when you're in high stress situations, or if we're faced with more COVID, more uncertainty, whatever the results are of the election, you're okay inside. Because I know that that's what this work does. I want to offer it to 20 people who want to commit to this program. It's a combination of individual and group coaching. Primarily, it's one-to-one sessions. That's the bulk of the program. That's why I'm keeping it to 20 people only. I'm doing applications because I want to make sure it's the right fit, because it is a commitment, but it's also a commitment to feeling better in your own life and not just through your conscious mind, but really altering and helping your nervous system and your subconscious to reorganize. And I tell you, I've done a lot of different kinds of work. I've had a very varied experience in the wellness field, in the medical field, in meditation, so on and so forth. And this work with somatic experiencing is unlike anything else. And the changes that it leads to are deep, are profound, and are long lasting. And especially if we can take a period of time, a 3-month period of time, do the regular work and give our system time to adapt, to reorganize, and to work with those things that come up for you in your individual life. Because I think that's what we need. Working with a skilled practitioner is above and beyond, I think, the fastest way to make lasting change. Because having that witness to our own pain, to our own suffering, and having someone who can be with us there and someone skilled who can help us to be with ourselves through it as well. So that's what I'm offering. If you are interested, if you'd like to apply, I'll put the link in the bottom. Book a call with me. And we'll see if it's a good fit for you. But the early bird price is going to go for a week. And then we're going to shut it down the 30th. That's it. No more. Because I want it to take us through the rest of 2020. I want to end 2020 on a really, on a positive note, but more so on a note of being able to feel and be okay in feeling. Because I think that is the most important thing we can do right now. Definitely one of the most important things we can be doing is to build internal resilience within our systems so that no matter what comes at us, we are okay. So I'll have that link for you below. You can just click apply here and get on a call with me. Let's see if it's a good fit for you. And thank you all so much for listening to me share a little bit more than I usually do in the intro. But since it's been a few weeks, I wanted to touch on these things. And without further ado, let's get into this episode with Nicole Song. She is an absolute delight, wonderful human, and has some fascinating things to share. Hi, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Beyond the Pink Cloud. This is your host, Dr. Alice Kirby. Today with me, I have Nicole Song. She is an author. She's already produced 2 books, and she has a 3rd book coming out in October. It's called 24 Ways to Move More. She's also a work-life balance coach, and she's pretty amazing. Thanks for being here, Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Alice.
Yeah. So tell us, of course, about your book that's coming out, 24 Ways to Move More. And I know we talked about this a little bit before when we spoke, but I'd love if you could just share with the audience a little bit about the inception behind the book and how it came to be.
Sure. Well, I wrote a fitness column for the Seattle Times for 6 years. And in that column, essentially every week, I tried something new. it was the idea behind it is to just see what it's like to try lots of different fitness and movement classes around the city. And so when the column ended, I had this really rich store of things I had done. I had to count. It was over 300 by the end. And so the idea was, how do I start to actually turn this into something that you also could do? I mean, the column, the idea was that you could read it and say, hey, I'll try that. But I wanted to give people a little bit more structure for actually trying some new things. And so we came up with this idea of a full year where you would actually commit yourself to trying new kinds of movements. So every month there's two new movements that you can try, and it's formatted in a way so that you can actually easily start to check out a class or two every month and then try to move your body in different ways.
I love that. I love the creativity behind it. And just the whole process of learning to move differently and being open to that, because I think a lot of us get stuck in our own ruts of like, I'm a runner, or I, you know, hike and that's my thing. Was there anything you felt like you had to overcome sort of mentally when you were first writing the column and exploring all these new classes and new ways to move?
I had to overcome a lot, Alice. So many things.
Tell us about it.
Well, the first piece that I had to overcome was the idea that I wasn't really a movement or an athlete or a fitness person. I'm a yoga teacher. And so they said, hey, that's a great qualification for being a fitness writer. And I was like, is that a really good one? So I really had to start to trust myself and my body and say, yes, I can try lots of new things and I am strong. I'm capable of doing all of that. So there was that piece for me at the very beginning of like, I am actually capable of doing what they're asking me to do. And then there was the piece about actually trying new things all the time and being a beginner. And that's really actually also a big part of this book, is bringing in that beginner mentality, because I was literally 3-4 times a month trying something I had never done before. I was hula-ing, like Hawaiian hula. I was doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I was trying things that were fairly intense things that I literally had no experience in. And so I had at the beginning, the first, I would say actually probably 2 years, every time I would be on my way to this class and I'd be like, oh my God, I hope I can do it. Like, can I do this? Because it was pretty intense and challenging. But then actually what I realized over time is the more I did new things, the better I got at being okay with doing something that was new and different.
I really love that. And I love that you had that awareness too. Is that something that you talk about in your book, like this idea of you could do new things, and if you actually get past that uncomfortable bit, then it's easier to do new things, even if the thing itself isn't easier, like your ability to just try new things becomes more simple.
I think of the book as an exercise of being a beginner and being getting better actually at doing new things. Because I think especially as adults, like you were saying, we get into ruts of the things that we do and the movement things that we do. And the column taught me that it is possible to constantly try new things and challenge yourself that way. And then actually just be open to being bad at something. Because that's the other thing about it. You are going to probably be bad at it because you've never done it before. And so I got really good at being bad at stuff. And it actually was a really great practice for me to just be like, well, I'm not going to be good at tap dancing. That's okay.
I feel like we need more of that, because there's such a tendency towards perfectionism. I feel like half of the women that I work with are like, but I'm a perfectionist. And so I like for everything to make sense. And, you know, I certainly have those traits myself. So there's a lot of value in being okay with being bad at something.
My dog is totally with you, Alice.
Oh, nice. What's your dog's name?
Her name is Coco.
Hi, Coco. Yes. Like, let's bring her on. Coco, what do you think?
Well, she's a big part of my movement practices, and so she knows all about this conversation. Totally. Me too. And I think too, I had been doing yoga for many years by the time I started this column. I also had to start trying new things. And it is an interesting thing as an adult, because when you're a kid, you try new things all the time. You don't even really think about if you fail or you're bad at it. You know, you learn soccer, or you learn your sports, and it's just part of the whole thing. And then you get to be an adult and you think you're somehow supposed to be good at everything the first time you do it. And it's actually impossible. How could you be good at something you've never done before? And that was really one of my biggest learnings. And really one of the biggest reasons I wanted to write the book is because that was actually one of the great pleasures I had, was trying new things and challenging myself into stuff. And I was often really bad at it, but I actually just got over it every time. I'd be like, okay, well, I've never done it before, so how could I possibly understand how to do exactly what they're telling me to do? So I'm just going to try and see if I can have fun.
Right. Yeah. I think we need more of that. Just that, understanding of it's okay. I do that when I go to dance classes sometimes or anything really, or I'll have this conversation with my partner where I'm like, well, of course it's going to be like hard. You've never done it. We had a skills lab when I was in PT school around like trying new things in motor movement. And it was around like adaptation for patients that had had stroke or other neurological deficiencies. Or other neurological injuries so that they couldn't use their body in the same way. So this whole lab, it was really creative, was around like, what does it feel like to be bad at stuff? And so they would have us do things like juggle or ride a unicycle, like things that we just weren't good at, to know like how that felt and to actually feel the frustration so we'd have a better understanding of the patients. We had to put on oven mitts and try to put beads on a string to sort of mimic the loss of dexterity that some patients have. And I learned a lot from that, just in like how frustrating that is from their point of view. But also like, yeah, that we can get through it, especially, you know, those of us that do have fully intact nervous systems.
I've tried to ride a unicycle. It's incredibly difficult.
It's so dumb.
It's so hard.
That's too dumb for me. I don't want to do it. That's my own prejudice. Anything that's too hard for me, I'm like, it's dumb. Do you feel like that trickled over into the rest of your life? Like this ability to try new things repeatedly, you know, for a year, or over a year, I guess two years, you said you wrote the column.
6 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I know you said 360 new things.
I did. Yeah. I tried over 300 new things.
Yeah.
And yeah, it did. And I think it's actually, you know, looking at the pandemic and uncertainty, it actually has helped me just be a lot better at dealing with uncertainty. And because you